This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
With less than 2 weeks to go before the UK votes in a referendum whether or not to leave the EU, the campaign for the yes to a Brexit apparently took a 10 percentage point lead in the polls, which was published late last week. This was a poll by ORB of 2,000 people, and they did this for the Independent newspaper. They found that 55% are in favour of a so-called Brexit. That's up 4 points since a previous poll in April. 45% for the Remain or the Bremain camp, down 4 points.
I like that, Bremain.
Brexit and a Bremain.
Yeah, I think this is a huge jump. And there is something called the Project Fear going on in the UK, which is that the Remain camp is talking about the fear of the unknown, right? Because you really cannot, at this point in time, calculate what the negative impact on the United Kingdom is. But to them, it suffices to go out there and say, hey, this is really scary. If you leave, you don't know what might happen to Britain economically, and therefore you should vote to stay. So that's the Project Fear, right? And the Financial Times says that this is obviously, the latest poll shows that obviously Project Fear isn't working. Mm-hmm. And there is a big group of people really who are thinking of the longer term economic prospects of the United Kingdom. And they say that they want to chart their own independent destiny and therefore not just focusing on the short term economic fallout.
I'd also like to note that this is the biggest that the Leave camp has had, the biggest lead that the Leave camp has had in the polls since it started.
Yeah, and first of all, I don't know how reliable these polls can be when it comes to the real voting itself. One can argue that, you know, you're sampling the 2,000 people. Is this 2,000 people reflective of the general population? But one thing for certain, that Project Fear that Julian, you were mentioning, everything is weighing on this right now. In fact, the world is weighing on Brexit. Obama, for instance, have said that Brits should stay. Many others are saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I think that there's still a huge portion of people who are perhaps undecided. And, you know, analysts have also pointed out that polls in the UK have notoriously been wrong before. Remember what happened with the elections last
year? Yeah, the elections. Yeah, that's
well, so, David Cameron says, I think we should forget about the polls because there is a poll in 13 days' time.
There is an actual poll.
Actual referendum. But I think 2,000 people from a statistical viewpoint, I guess, is significant enough and would provide a kind of realistic sample survey. But then again, you know, people can change their minds.
But what's also interesting is that the Pew Research, which is a US-based polling company, they said that Britain may be the only country that will have a referendum, but more than 60% of French people have an unfavourable view of the EU. Also, 3/4 of the Greeks have an unfavourable view of the EU. So they're wondering whether this referendum of a Brexit could in fact signal the beginning of the end of the EU.
That's part of one of the points of Project Fear as well, is that if Britain is successful in leaving the EU, then it will cause some of the other smaller nations to rush to the exit. And the EU as a grouping as we know it would dismantle and would disintegrate. And that's very bad, not only for EU, but for the rest of the world as well. I mean, we saw that the S&P 500 in the United States, it's flirting with its all-time high, and we've got negative interest rates all around the world. Too much optimism and too much perfection is priced into the market right now, that anything bad that happens in the short term has the effect of perhaps causing some kind of a big crash in the market, and that is something that is fearful for the Remain camp as well.
You know, it's something interesting that you mentioned, this whole big fear of crash in the market. This morning I spoke to Dodge Dorland, and he was talking about Bill Gross is the fixed income and bond specialist, and he has this notion that there will be a supernova effect at the markets should the yields continue to be in the negative, and Brexit does add to that fuel of negativity in this notion.
Yeah, that's right. It's so interesting because supernova is the brightest point of a dying star, right before it dies off, And it's really something that captures this whole idea of negative interest rates so well, because it is fueling the kind of money that's flowing into financial assets, creating a kind of bubble. And you just need a trigger for everything, for this house of cards to come off. So pretty scary. And I guess the decision over the next 2 days for the Fed is also quite crucial.
That's right.
It's will be interesting to watch.
So the FOMC meeting is this week. You know, traders are weighing the odds of a summer rate hike, whether it will come in June or July. But when it comes to the Brexit, 10 days to find out whether or not the UK remains in the EU. 7:41 right now, over in South Korea, Lotte Group has indicated it will shelve its $4.5 billion IPO for its hotel unit. This would have been the world's biggest IPO so far this year. And this comes after a member of its founding family became embroiled in a bribery probe.
They have apparently set up a lot of slush funds and been involved in a lot of embezzlement, not to mention also family feuds, which is a very normal characteristics of chaebols in Korea, because they've been led by the patriarch for many generations, in fact, two or three generations, and now they're really old and about to move on. So a lot of these children of the, especially Lotte, are making their moves, you know, launching family-related coups to remove the chairperson.
So some details about this probe. Korean prosecutors are now investigating whether Shin Yong-ja, which is one of the chairman's sisters, also other Lotte executives, whether or not they took kickbacks in return for giving cosmetics firm Nature Republic preferential treatment in Lotte's duty-free stores.
So this would mean that the world's largest IPO by far would be, you know, would be undone. And I think investment bankers all around the world is actually looking for more deals. And this 4.5 billion IPO that is now no longer on the table would mean that IB deals are now off the table.
Yeah, I guess they have to hold back the salivation of this deal coming through. But Lotte itself is a really interesting chaebol or Korean conglomerate. They are basically into everything, into food, shopping, entertainment, banks and so on.
89 Korean units under this conglomerate. They have $86 billion worth of assets. But do you think that this is, you know, again, to use a phrase that I just used, at the beginning of the end for Lotte? I mean, is it the unraveling of this chaebol?
I don't think so. Don't forget, they're just delaying the IPO, not necessarily cancelling it. They obviously would have a good business model to stand on. If you look at $4.5 billion just to list a hotel group, that is huge for just the hotel alone. What about the other units of their group? I'm sure that you know, would provide them many legs to stand on. You look at Korea, they have 15 hotels over there, two in the US, and some in some unusual countries like Russia and Uzbekistan.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, speaking of mega IPOs, in Japan, the messaging app operator LINE said that it wants to list its shares in a over $1 billion listing in Tokyo and New York next month. This could also be yet another mega IPO banks will salivate over.
Yeah, LINE is big in Japan, also in China and Korea. They're not necessarily big in the US, but with about over 200 million users, they are a comparable kind of app or messaging app against, say, WhatsApp.
Let me just correct myself there. So LINE is headquartered in Japan, but it's owned by a South Korean company, the largest South Korean web portal operator, Naver Corp.
That's right. And, you know, they're like a WhatsApp. They have about 218 million subscribers.
Do you guys use it?
Yeah, I do.
I don't use it.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How come you chose to use this rather than WhatsApp?
Well, I have my reasons, but...
Is it on your burner phone?
No, it's all... Okay.
Ibrahim, I would recommend Snapchat. Snapchat, the chat disappears after a while.
Hey, hang on. I mean, you know, it's trying new things, understanding how the world works. If you confine yourself to just WhatsApp, you know... So when you say that LINE client is going to issue an IPO, I'm like, ah, okay, I use that product.
Okay, so you want to have options, have options. There you go.
Yeah, but they I think it does show a focus on some kind of ecosystem in that part of the world, Japan and Korea, because 218 million may be small compared to WhatsApp's 1 billion people, right? But if you compare into geographical areas alone, I mean, they have 70% market share in Japan. So that's huge and that's valuable.
7:45 right now. We'll be back with more local business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.